Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
The battle for America is on.
Happy birthday, America. I write and produce the show on Fridays and post it Friday nights for distribution to our radio station, which airs on Saturday and Sunday, as well as to our podcast site. So it's July 4th for me, and I think we're in hell. Hold on. I'll provide biblical support for the statement, explain what I mean, and clarify what I don't mean. Nonetheless, I am joyously celebrating July 4th with my church family. The reason I'm happy is that I believe God is lifting America out of hell right before our eyes. President Trump is signing the One Big Beautiful Bill Act at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific Time, that's here Friday, July the 4th. The eagle, a metaphor for America, is leaping into flight. But there's something that it's clinging to and that it must let go of. Because this will cause significant drag and ultimately defeat its purpose. The ravens are mobbing, the night owls are diving at her. Unless these devils are defeated, the eagle will not escape hell. It's time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Happy birthday, America. Let's start by clarifying today is not the 250th anniversary of the Declaration. It is the 249th year. Major national anniversaries are often celebrated over multiple years. The U.S. Bicentennial, for example, in 1976, marked the 200th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence. Celebrations began in 1975 with tall ship parades. I remember seeing all that. It was awesome. And major traveling exhibits culminating in a major celebratory event and events in 1976, which reached their peak on July 4th of that year. Disney was big on America back then and celebrated the bicentennial with a special parade called America on Parade, which began in June 1975 and ran through September of 1976. We watched it several times during that period. It's now June 2025, and Disney has not announced any special recognition for the 250th anniversary of the Declaration. It is now past June of 2025, and Disney hasn't announced any special recognition of the 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence. The difference between then and now? Well, a whole lot. Disney's a whole lot different from then and now. But today, Trump is president, and that's a problem for pedophiles. And it's been a while since Disney's land loved America as founded. Other examples of extended celebrations of major historical events include the 100th anniversary of the Statue of Liberty and the World War I centennial. Some might think a mid-centennial celebration marking a 50-year interval rather than a 100-year interval does not warrant so much of a grand celebration as Trump is planning, but that's not true either. Some are trying to suggest that Trump is on a vanity trip here and this is all about him. It's not. He loves America. However, America celebrated the 50th year anniversary of the Declaration in 1826 and then the 100th anniversary 50 years later. These are called sesquicentennials. Yeah, that's why we don't lead with that, you know. We had a 150th anniversary of the Declaration in 1926. 50 years later, we celebrate the 200th anniversary. The Civil War is another example. World War II, another. This year marks an epoch in American history, an era of American resurgence, and major prophetic leaps toward the end are at play and in motion. And this is a juncture. Many don't rightly understand the last days prophecies of Isaiah 2, Micah 4, with Genesis 49:13. These last days prophecies predict an economic boom time centered in the Middle East and complete with a peace that's orchestrated around trade agreements. Yeah. And these will push the world economies into a period of outrageous wealth and riches. It's going to include a prevailing policy of arms reduction and freedom of religion. It's in Isaiah 2:4, Micah 4:3. You look at Joel 3:10 in connection with this, and Micah 4:5. Let's go ahead and look at these verses quickly. It won't take but a moment. Notice this is a prophecy of what people and nations will be saying at this time. Isaiah says, many people shall go and say. Isaiah 2:3. Micah says, many nations shall come and say. Micah 4:2. Say what? Well, Isaiah 2:4 tells us in part, they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. And Micah 4:3 says, they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. These are parallel prophecies. And as for religious liberty, get a load of this. And in Micah 4, verse 5, for all people will walk, everyone, in the name of his God, little g, and we will walk in the name of the Lord, our God, big G, forever and ever. Now, friend, that doesn't describe the millennial reign. According to Zechariah, when the day of the Lord comes, and that's when Jesus returns to the earth, you know, when he returns and sets his foot on the Mount of Olives, Zechariah 14:4, the policy is not going to be that everyone serves whatever God they choose. That doesn't describe the millennial reign. When King Jesus returns, the policy is going to be, quote, in that day there shall be one Lord and his name one, Zechariah 14:9. Hey, and as for the disarmament policy, that's going to be the rage during this period of trade arranged peace between nations and outrageous prosperity. Well, guess what happens before the return of the Lord occurs? Yeah, before he sets up his kingdom on the earth, that's going to be reversed. Joel 3:10 says, in connection with the day of the Lord, beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears, and then let the weak say, I am strong. Mark my words, this anniversary of America with the signing of this big, beautiful bill marks the beginning of America's rise out of hell. It marks the full turning of this ship of state, weakening the maelstrom's grip upon its keel to set its sails for a new course with a heading for America as founded. Toward a new sunrise of America's manifest destiny. Now, there's some language that'll wring the blood from an Antichrist's nose. Oh boy, I think it's doubly fitting that we should now celebrate this fifth sesquicentenary of our Declaration of Independence. For the signing of this historic act of Congress is a rebirth of American independence from the forces of tyranny that try to destroy it, you know, like the Kraken that wrapped its tentacles around the USS America, and the tentacles being woke ideology, oppressive taxation, Antichrist weaponization of our government, turning the civil sword against the righteous and in defense of the vile and wicked. I mean, we're talking about using the civil sword to protect rapists and murderers and drug traffickers, perverting benevolence and turning it into support for laziness and indolence, and making this a nation worse than the infidel who refuses to care for his own and robs even his own children of their own heritage and home. Curse the Kraken, be damned and driven back to the depths of hell from whence you came, and take your communism and your socialism and go join Karl Marx and his ilk in the fires where they're undying worm rise in the fire that never shall be quenched. Oh God, to let today mark the day you give us a rebirth of freedom and break us loose from these chains of darkness set upon us by the unreasonable and wicked children of disobedience, guided by their prince of the power of the air, Satan. Chains forged to hold devils in the deep, broken by the cross. In Jesus' name, let not these agents of devils drag this nation into their power. I must conclude this segment. Let's do that by considering the key features of the One Big Beautiful Bill Act. that is to be signed. And, well, let's see, from now about 35 minutes, it's 1:25 p.m. PT and about 4:25 ET. So July 4th, 2025, here's the big day. The president's scheduled to sign the bill at 5 p.m., and it's just a little bit of... Listen, first, as you probably know by now, the bill was not modified by the Senate to exclude the provision that pulled 1.4 million illegal immigrants off the Medicare nipple. The amendment to that effect, which failed to pass, it turns out, was what they call a message vote. Well, we're learning a lot about how our government operates, so pay attention. The provision for this cut remained in the bill all along. It was never removed. The savvy legislators advanced this amendment to send a message. Let's make sure you get the message. First, it put all the Democrats on record as in support of illegal aliens having access to Medicare. And this is illegal anyway. Did you know that? So even the law that acts to remove them is nothing more than an effort to enforce existing law. So first, the message amendment vote sent the message to show and put all the Democrats on record in support of this very unpopular policy. And it worked. Every demented Democrat voted against the amendment, putting them in direct opposition to 80% of Americans. Second, this message vote sent another message. This one was intended for the Republicans and the MAGA patriots who were frustrated that the House delayed action until they could present this bill in the reconciliation package. Now listen, the majority of the House voted in favor of removing the illegal alien from the Medicare rolls when that message amendment was presented. It actually had the majority of the House in favor. However, an amendment requires a supermajority. 60 votes were needed to pass. They received 56. So they had a majority, but not enough to meet the required 60 votes in the Senate. And if Speaker Johnson and the rest of them had gone ahead and attempted to pass this big, beautiful bill in pieces or whatever, every single promise Trump made to the American people would have been frustrated and delayed and defeated by the Democrats and their helpers among the rhinos. Another lie used in an attempt to turn MAGA patriots against the bill was the rumor that the Senate removed Second Amendment protection and relief against a long-standing encroachment of our liberties, that they had removed that from the House version of the bill. I'm happy to report that is not true. The provision eliminating the $200 tax imposed on any citizen exercising their inalienable right to keep and bear arms remained in the Senate version of the bill. There will be no longer any onerous, liberty-restricting, freedom-encroaching $200 tax imposed on any American purchasing a suppressor, a short-barreled rifle, or shotgun, or any other weapon. We were told it was removed, but it was not. It's there, and it passed, and Trump is about to sign it into law. The bill delivers on all of Trump's promises. It sets this ship of state on a course toward restoring liberty and justice. So now we need to sail on. We need to man the sails, hold fast to the course before us, and get this nation out of the maelstrom of hell onto the open sea of liberty. I'm going to take a break here and go watch Trump sign the One Big Beautiful Bill Act into law. I'll be right back.
Most believe Satan owns the world and has the right to rule it. They think Christians should leave politics to unbelievers, that believers have no place in government. Well, Christians, how's that working for you? You see, the fact is Satan has fed you a lie. Satan depends on Christians staying in the dark about the fact that Jesus Christ defeated him, and Satan has no right to rule one square inch of territory on this planet. Learn the truth. It will set you free. Go to GodsWar2020.com. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello and welcome back. I'm Dr. Jerry Scheidbach, pastor of the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamp to the church belfry arch, thinking the enemy is on the march. An enemy that would steal from us our liberty, and they're still trying. It was a grand ceremony. Great Trumpian speech. I don't totally understand what delayed things, and I especially don't understand who was the moron at YouTube that thought it was a good idea to cut to commercial exactly at the moment the president sat to sign the bill? and then return after the signing was done. Good night. I've got a link for you, in case you missed it, to see the replay. I'm sure you've seen it. Did you love it when Johnson presented the gavel used to gavel the passing of the big, beautiful bill? I thought that was really appropriate, and it was a great gesture. And I loved it when Trump used it. You know, that was good. Now, I'm glad he didn't succumb to the temptation to use it to knock the heads of some of those who voted against it. But anyway, just joking. Well, let's talk about my title for the show, or at least part of the title, that I think America is in hell. First, I mean whatever is meant in the context of Psalm 9, verse 17. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. The expression shall be turned is typically used to describe being directed towards something or to some place, but it is used to speak of a transformation only once. That's in Isaiah 29:17, at least only once that I can find. Jesus spoke of hell as the place of the damned having an extended influence into the world when he said concerning his church that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, I think the nation that forgets God is let go or turned loose or turned toward and into the power of hell. The Spirit speaks of persons being called to leave the power of Satan or the power of darkness and to come under the power of God and light. A nation can also come under God or it can come under Satan. If a nation forgets God, it is turned over to hell. The characteristics of a nation turned over to hell include being ruled by children of disobedience whose manners model the manners of Satan. He's a liar and the father of it. He has no legitimate power or authority on the earth, according to Jesus. He was cast out. He was demoted. So he's no longer prince of the world. Jesus is prince over all the rulers of the earth, Revelation 1:5. Anyway, so the people that follow Satan, even those who don't understand that's what they're doing, they work on the operation of taking by force and taking by violence of power and authority in the earth. And you see that consistently manifested on the left. This is what the wicked do. They employ deception as their primary tool and then proceed to seize power through force and violence. They are children of Satan. And that's what Jesus said. He said their father is the devil. So they do the deeds of their father. A nation tends to take on the character of its leaders, or their leaders reflect the character of the people, usually a mixture of both. Judah was ultimately destroyed by divine judgment because of the sins of Manasseh, whose example corrupted the people, and yet, at the same time, whose character reflected the people, certain elements of it. The darkness that came over our land, beginning with Obama, was so thick and blinding that many people believed anything the wicked told them. Even nonsense like, yeah, men can have babies. Right. And that it's a righteous thing to put men into women's sports. You know, somehow that serves righteousness. Or that laws against criminal behavior are oppressive, and yet using government to oppress law-abiding, hardworking citizens, well, that's necessary in order to protect the wicked from them. We were caught in a maelstrom of darkness, drawing our nation into hell. A maelstrom is created by underwater features. Did you know that? Below the surface, out of sight, that spin the tides as they move into a funnel, drawing everything from the surface down into the dark depths. These underwater, or in our case, these deep state features invisibly turn the tides of evil and injustice into a spiritual maelstrom, drawing our nation into hell, where devils are chained, awaiting their final sentence. I got a bunch of Bible verses in here that you can read that'll show you what I'm talking about there in case you don't understand. Although God, by his chosen champion, Trump, has steered the ship of state skillfully, some of those devils that lurk below the surface continue to hold this ship and create a drag on it, holding it back. It's what I was referred to when I said the eagle has set off to flight, but it's carrying something. It's holding on to something it won't let go of. I've changed my metaphor, but I'm speaking to the same issue. Trump and his administration has done so much, but until they aggressively address the dark underbelly of sex trafficking, and especially the pedo program of Obama-Biden, the ship will be dragged down to hell again. We must shake loose of this CIA, MI6, Mossad sex trafficking pedo program or I assure you there will be hell to pay. Now listen to Alex Jones summarize this for us. James Comey, and I got a link here for you to listen to it. You know him, the disgraced FBI director who lately called for the assassination of President Trump in his usual sly manner, keeping himself just a toe this side of the law. At least that's the excuse that's used to not prosecute him. Think about it. I think it's deeper than that. When he was director of the FBI, he protected Epstein, Diddy, and other pedophiles in the Obama-Biden pedo program. Comey's daughter works in the United States Department of Justice. Did you know that? In other words, she works for Pam Bondi. Specifically, Maureen is her name, works as the assistant United States attorney in the infamous Southern District of New York. That's the district where the former FBI officer in charge of that office, James Dennehy, intentionally hid 14 terabytes of the Epstein files from Bondi, tried to convince Bondi and Cash that these files didn't even exist, but they got the whistle was blown on them. This guy was literally obstructing justice, was found out and fired, but not charged? Not prosecuted? Why? Maureen works in the same office and, in fact, was under that guy and is the one who is assigned to the violent and organized crime unit. She gets all the Epstein-related cases assigned to her, including those involving Epstein, Ghislaine Maxwell, and most recently P. Diddy. She's on that one. Yeah, P. Diddy is in the Epstein circle. She's the prosecutor who made the deal that allowed Maxwell to protect her clients under the guise of protecting their victims. Watch out for that trick. Alex Jones reports that James Comey's daughter, Maureen Comey, has handled dozens of Epstein-related cases and has hid evidence, minimized the evidence she has, and she's supposed to be the prosecution here. And by the way, she loses sex trafficking portions of the evidence. What? And seems to find a way to, one, plant a trigger in her convictions that can be used later to spring the criminal. That is, she does something that's wrong or, you know, that plants a little something in there for them later to contest the conviction. And then, two, protects the revelation of something we've come to know already, and that is the FBI and the CIA are connected with this, just like the Health and Human Services were connected to sex trafficking of children put into their care. That is, at least before RFK rousted them. When will Pam Bondi do the same? Pam Bondi had to raid the New York office to get the Epstein files. But what do you bet that by then the most incriminating material was given to Hillary to bleach? Har har, but not funny anymore. Or corrupted evidence was inserted, compromising fake evidence. So now P. Diddy is going to get what amounts to a slap on the wrist. None of the clients who victimize young boys, girls, or women are going to be touched. And the merry-go-round just keeps spinning round and round and round. Who's protecting these pedophiles? Who's protecting the child rapists? Human trafficking operations going on within our Obama-Biden deep state. Alex says the Obama-Biden CIA and FBI, along with MI6 and Mossad, are all implicated in this hellish business, and I'm beginning to share his concerns. Here's Alex.
So I've given Pam Bondi and Cash Patel and Bongino benefit of the doubt, but we're now 160-something days into this, and now we have the P. Diddy whitewash, and I'm going to get more into this when we come back from break. And I am getting very, very, very concerned.
You know, I noticed some things at the signing that I thought were interesting. Only a few days or weeks ago, Trump was furious with Lindsey Graham. Now he's singling him out for special notice and praise. We probably should not read too much into such statements from Trump, but watch closely and you'll see. You know, I don't know about you. I feel like Trump was, of course, upbeat and excited and everything, but there was a dampening there, and something. He kept reaching out to either reassure or find comfort in touching his wife. I mean, I do that. I understand it. I don't know if it's the same thing. I'm not sure. I mean, maybe her back or knees or whatever were hurting, and he was sympathetic. I don't know. It just, if something was just a little bit, just a tad, just a tinge off for me. And I'll speak to this more during the Saturday Brain Massage Live podcast scheduled for about 7 p.m. Now, I continue to believe Trump is leading us true and honestly intends to break us free of Satan's grip upon this nation through the kraken of sex trafficking and the protection of the Obama-Biden-Pedo program. It must be exposed. I think he knows that, and I think he wants to do that, and I think he will do that. No matter how devastating it is, it must be exposed. Perhaps Trump wanted to get the big, beautiful bill passed. Perhaps Bondi and Cash and Tulsi and Noam are all working to position the pieces. You know, perhaps they're developing the middle game of their chess match with Satan and his agents. But I'll tell you this right now. There's no way we break from the Kraken of Hell. No way we break Leviathan's grip on our nation if we do not directly challenge the dark forces that are protecting child trafficking and the high-level perverts. Now, I know that Satan will orchestrate an intimidating, scary opposition to exposure. Oh, yeah. Don't underestimate him. But do it anyway. Because, you see, until you resist the devil, he will not flee. But when you resist him, he tucks tail and runs, Christian. And we've got Christians up there right now who should know this. And you can't successfully resist the devil until first you've submitted to God, James 4:7. And the only institution on earth, by the way, that is promised power to overcome the gates of hell and full protection from the gates of hell is the church. But the church must rise. And the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. And no church that cannot sustain and carry the weight of truth is worthy of the name His church. The church must rise, the real one. Come watch the lighthouse rise this Sunday for our 4th of July special service. I've lit the lamps, the church belfry arch. You let me know you see they're on. You can email me by going to our website, brainmassage.net. Again, that's brainmassage.net. Find the contact us button, click and send your message to me. You can leave a message for me in our listener response hotline. That's 805-314-2114. And I'd love to hear from my listeners, so please take the time to give me a call. God bless you. God bless America. And I'll see you in
church. Most believe Satan owns the world and has the right to rule it. They think Christians should leave politics to unbelievers, that believers have no place in government. Well, Christians, how's that working for you? You see, the fact is Satan has fed you a lie. Satan depends on Christians staying in the dark about the fact that Jesus Christ defeated him, and Satan has no right to rule one square inch of territory on this planet. Learn the truth. It will set you free. Go to GodsWar2020.com. Your next brain massage is scheduled for Saturday at 12 noon and Sunday at 7 a.m.